Welcome to the Mike Chloe Kemp from Kent. It's time to be frank, it's time to vent. From mental health to parental death, where the humour is dark as she's bereft. There'll be tears and there'll be laughter, and of course there'll be talk about those pyjamas. So pull up a seat, you're in the front row now. Turn down the lights, it's time to get the clue down. Let's get the clue down.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Get the Chloe Down with me, Chloe Kent. How are you all? I hope you're all doing really well. Today I am joined with one of my favourite guests. He keeps coming back, and not just because he lives here, he has no choice, but it's Ryan Kent, everybody.
Evening.
Yay! Little round of applause for you.
Literally round.
Oi, was that a fat joke?
No, you donut.
Well, I'm clearing that up. Ryan, you won't necessarily know this, but this morning, I think I did tell you, but I put up on my Instagram, I asked the question, why do people think that mental health is on the rise? What do you think is contributing? What do you think is causing it? And I have more answers on this question than I have ever had.
Okay.
Like, I've put all sorts of questions out there in the past, and I've never had such response than I have to this. Like, it is crazy. I'm swiping and swiping and swiping, but equally, it's amazing because I love to have so many opinions on this. One thing I will clear up on, I did get a lot of comments from ladies and gents basically saying that they think mental health isn't on the rise. It's always been this bad, but we're just hearing about it more now.
Mm-hmm.
And whilst I agree, if we're looking back to when, you know, our nan and stuff, you know, our parents were kids, or our, you know, our grandparents were just in their 30s, I can completely agree if we're talking about that time frame. But I'm actually literally talking about the last decade. If you look at the last sort of decade, statistically, both UK and America, we are on the rise. There are more admissions. There are more people on antidepressants. There are more people taking time off of work. Like, statistically, just from the last decade, if we're just sort of looking in our sort of recent times, then we can see a real rise. So that's what I'm sort of discussing, our sort of decade at the moment, you know?
Okay. All right.
So before I start reading through this monumental list of people's answers, is there anything that jumps on top of your mind that you think is a big, big contributing factor?
Social media.
Yeah, okay. Well, I've already got some in front of me about that, so feel free to elab.
I think that, especially from such a young age now, we are all kind of, I don't know if being programmed or being influenced is probably the right word, to look a certain way and talk a certain way. And if individuals don't reach that goal by a certain age, or don't reach that exact look, then they feel like they failed, and there's pressure on them, and there's pressure on them all the time. And I think it builds up, and I think that's a major contribution to it. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes back to that Lindsay Lohan line in the film Mean Girls, when she says, I used to think there was just fat and thin, but now turns out there's lots of things that can be wrong with you. And that sort of really has
never heard that line.
Yeah, that's why it's such an iconic film, babe. Mm. And that really is true, because I remember just growing up, I was, you know, very much aware of my weight, and being bigger was the worst thing a girl could be when I was growing up. It was. There were no plus size shops. You know, I had to go to Evans. Do you know what Evans is?
I remember it being like an old fashioned store. Like,
making me feel better already, thank you.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to say. I just remember it. You don't see an Evans now. I just remember it a bit like C&A.
It was basically a plus size shop, but it was the target audience really was elderly. It's like they just assumed elderly people just gave up and started eating cream cakes, and they was like, "Oh, we better cater to them." But
is that where that picture was taken then, with your mum?
That was from Evans, that outfit.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, it was. It was from Evans.
I can tell.
But being like 16 and all that lot, there was no like Tammy girl like that and Jane Norman that would cater to my size. It just wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
So I did very much grow up knowing that, and that was always on my mind. Of course it was. But yeah, since like the days of like when Towie took the TV by storm, so did half these reality shows, Geordie Shore, the lots of them. But as these reality stars, I guess, as they got more money and more gifts and everything else, they were able, you know, they got freebies at beauty salons, everything else. They were able to like better themselves, I guess, if you want to word it like that. And of course they went for like chin fillers, veneers, tanning, eyelash extensions all the time. So then suddenly you're like 18, 19, 20 and your weight isn't the only thing you're worried about anymore. Like, I never used to give a shit about my teeth, and now, you know, I probably talk about my teeth, well, way more than I'd like, don't I?
Yeah.
I just don't like my teeth at all, and I never used to think about it, but now, since everyone's got the beautiful, beautiful veneer smile, it's just what I think about.
But that's exactly my point, is because it's become, and I hate the word fashionable, but because it has become that, and people think that they have to look like that to be accepted in society, you don't. I mean, I was 12 stone. I went to 17 stone, I'm back down to 15 stone. Do you know what? I can happily say, comfortably
say,
you're
still a virgin.
Definitely not. But that I was happy at each stage, and people say to me, you've put on weight. Yeah, so I'm enjoying life. I'm enjoying being me. You know.
I know.
There's too much pressure to look. You know, for men, the chiseled body and the slick back hair. I've got hair that's going back. It's just receding. It's not slick back.
Do you know what's funny, though? Well, it's actually not funny. It's sad. But somebody that I'm friends with who is a reality star, she posted a picture. It was over a year ago now of her in Dubai. And she was with a few girls from Geordie Shore, a couple of girls from Towie, somebody else that I don't know. And in the photo, every single one of them have this pointed chin. You know, because the whole pointed chin look is in. And they have really high cheekbones. So I thought, fuck. Like, don't get me wrong, because I'm not going to sit here and slate them, because I absolutely wouldn't dream of it. Individually, they all look beautiful. Collectively, it was just so weird seeing how they all looked exactly the same.
Yeah, almost sort of programmed for a film, you know, on the set.
They almost looked robotic. It was like, wait, how do they literally all have the same shape face? What is going on, please? And how do I get involved?
Yeah.
But it's crazy.
There is no individuality anymore, is there? It's all, we've all got to look the same. We've all got to drive the flash car, have the expensive handbag and clothes and, you know, teeth. It makes no sense to me. You know me. I wear what I wear. I like what I wear. I'm comfortable. You know,
it is tough. And obviously, you know, you think about who have the most following on Instagram. It's like Selena Gomez. It's the Kardashians. It's Ariana Grande. People like that. But you know, you look at their videos, and their skin is flawless. Their teeth are beautifully white. But you know, you forget that they have millions of pounds that allows them to have all that daily. You know, the rest of us, you know, getting our nails done and everything else, it's a luxury. At the moment, just getting a dentist appointment is a fucking luxury, isn't it? So, we shouldn't do it. We shouldn't compare, because we are worlds apart from people like that. We shouldn't put ourselves through it. But, you know, we do. I've unfollowed Kylie Jenner now, because I still like her. But I love her cosmetics, you know, her cosmetic line. So you can follow her because of that. But then when she was posting videos, I used to get upset that her makeup doesn't look good on me like it does on her, because her skin was flawless. She doesn't have hooded eyelids. She doesn't have wrinkles. Like, she had nothing. And I was like, oh, sod this. I can't be arsed. I mean, I'll still buy your stuff, Kylie, love, but you're making me feel like a twat.
But strip the makeup back. Yeah. Take the makeup away, and you see some pictures in the papers or online of these celebrities without their makeup, and they look completely different. They don't. That's what I'm saying. This image that you see isn't real. It's not real.
They do. Makeup does a lot. But equally, yeah. I've had enough plastic surgery that I still rather look like them on a bad day than
me. Fair enough. Yeah, it's fair enough.
I look like Lewis Capaldi's twin sister that's a meth addict. You see the accent.
You don't, but it's funny.
I don't want to talk about it. Right, I'll tell you what I'll do, because I've got so many answers and I feel bad that I'm not going to be able to read everyone's. So I'm going to skim through and I'm going to read loads of people's comments quickly. Mm-hmm. And we're going to discuss any that just pop out to us that we've not discussed, okay? And there is a big one straight away.
Okay.
Millie says COVID.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. Okay. Cost of living is putting a big strain on lots of people.
Yep.
Social media. Kids who had poor parenting examples are having kids with no idea how to care for them. That one feels personal.
It does.
Oh, who's this from? My dad. It feels a bit personal. I reckon someone's got beef with somebody else that wrote that. Cost of living is an absolute joke. The stress of paying bills is crazy. Social media. I feel we live in such a fickle world. People put so much pressure on themselves. Money is a huge reason. The increase on absolute everything but wages and benefits. Cost of living crisis. Society going nuts. No one can have an opinion. Work is more stressful than ever. E-numbers and processed foods. Didn't have those years ago. I think lockdown caused a rise in mental health. Working from home was horrific for me. Expectations are high. Recreational drugs and social media.
Yep.
I think lockdowns and COVID have had a big impact. I've had a terrible few weeks with my mental health. There aren't enough services, sadly, to keep up with mental health. It's have a cup of tea and a bath and you're cured. Phones and tech, never been able to switch off. Let's just pause there and I'll read some more in a minute. Let's just discuss a few of what we've already heard about there. Anything that was jumping out at you? Because loads of them for me.
Yeah, there was quite a few that you think, I mean, COVID and lockdown combined, let's combine the two because they go hand in hand. You know, people that were, you get up Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 jobs in an office, and then all of a sudden that's been your life for, say, let's say minimum of 5 years. And all of a sudden you're not going out on the train and commuting to work every day. You're not stopping at a shop on the way to work. You're not getting your coffee. Mm-hmm. You are confined to your home.
Well, initially, sorry, baby, carry on.
No, go on.
I was going to say, initially, when I think of COVID, I actually look back with positivity in the sense that I actually really enjoyed, and I think a lot of people did, I actually really enjoyed the lockdown, initially anyway. We had that beautiful weather. We was all on TikTok having a laugh. We was all doing our little quizzes from home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a real community feel to life then, where we was all looking out for each other with our mental health. We was all helping each other by going to the shops, dropping off food for the vulnerable, you know, things like this. And we were all trying to keep each other entertained.
Mm.
And that's all I could think of was the good side. But then I thought, what about Teddy? Teddy is an example of the bad side, because Teddy started reception and a few months later,
he was COVID four, wasn't
happened,
he?
Yeah, and the lockdown happened. So because of that, Teddy missed majority of reception in year one, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, he did.
And then when we had to take him back to school in year two, he completely freaked. We had to get loads of people involved. There was a school specialist. I can't remember their name now, what their actual title is. But they were saying basically how Teddy had an extreme, you know, sort of separation anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that affected, I mean, I was thinking this in the bath. He is going to be finishing year three in 3 months and he has only just got back to normal, hasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And the thing is, you're right. He has. And it got to a stage where with lockdown as well, it affects not just your daily routine, it also affects your evening routine. So getting kids into bed, they've been home all day, they're not true. Burning as much energy, not, you know, so when it comes to bedtime, it's all messed up, and it's taken a while, you know. And I'm sure we're not the only parents that have experienced it.
It was fabulous for a bit, but like you say, you know, that sort of being locked in, the kids are locked in and nobody's allowed to go out. I mean, do you remember that time where we literally felt like we had cabin fever and we decided to just, because we'd not long moved to Norfolk, we moved in that little break where the world had opened up slightly and then it got back down again. Yeah. And we just moved here. We hadn't had a chance to explore and we decided to go and walk the dog 45 minutes away. But it was at that time where Boris said no one can go more than like 10 minutes away from home, didn't he?
Well, yeah, I think it was it was a bit of a grey area. But yeah,
the point is that the police ended up coming to tell us off for walking the dog. Do you remember?
Well, no, they didn't see us, did they? But they asked. They'd obviously checked our reg. And the ice cream man actually gave us a heads up, didn't he?
Isn't that mad? Like, so guys, we're walking the dog. Some police have come to the car park. They've checked the registration, realised that the car is registered like 40 minutes away from this park. And they asked the ice cream man where we were. And the ice cream man was like, heads up, the police are looking for
you. Yeah, I think he sent them the wrong way, though. I think he sent them the other way. But
Jesus. It like is an crazy. Episode of The Bill.
Just to put it out there, though, we didn't actually interact with anyone then. We were on our own, walking in open field. But it is mad when you think that you've literally got in your car and gone to walk the dog, and the police are then going to say, you're not allowed to do that.
And you're going to be treated like a criminal, like you've broken a law. It's crazy. Yeah,
it was a crazy time to be living in. You know, I still see people now driving in their cars with masks on, walking around the shops with masks on.
Yeah.
Walking around the shops, I understand that. People who are driving their cars with masks on.
That's normally the elderly when I spot that. But I think you've got to be understanding to the point that that's another thing that COVID did to people's mental health. It scared the shit out of them.
Yeah. Very true. Very
people
true.
People are scared. A lot of people either lost people or did get very ill. And, you know, they're just, the media did a lot. I mean, I'm not going to blame the media fully. There were a lot of people that did die from COVID and a lot of people did get ill from COVID. But the media definitely made it sound like, you know, death was coming for you.
It was a lot of scaremongering, wasn't it?
So talking about the whole e-numbers, processed food, stuff like that. That's always been a conversation that me and my dad used to have, you know. Every time I've ever felt really anxious, we used to Google and just try and research what could be causing it all the time, you know, because it's been ongoing most of my life.
Yep.
And I remember, you know, me and dad, we used to talk a lot about aspartame, which is obviously fake sugar, basically. It's a sweetener. A lot of people who are on Slimming World or diets or low sugar or diabetics, they have it a lot, you know.
Yep.
And I did too. And you know, there are some articles out there that say it's safe and there are some articles out there that link it to dizziness, lightheadedness, anxiety, depression, you know, all sorts. So that was one of those things that we used to discuss. Another thing is stuff like hot dogs, you know, like I used to love them. I used to make them for Miley, you know, because back in the day we didn't have a lot of money and it was a really great budget meal if I made hot dogs with pasta.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now if you Google what is in hot dogs, I mean, they're strongly linking it now to bowel cancer, aren't they?
Yeah. If you like hot dogs, don't look at what's in them.
Yeah.
Because you won't eat another one. You won't.
And also, we are like a real processed food generation now. I mean, I was thinking back to our nans, for example, who religiously every night made potatoes, fresh vegetables and some meat. That was dinner.
Yeah.
And the meat always changed. Like I'd go into nan's any day of the week and it would always be some runner beans and carrots, potatoes, and there'd be lamb or pork or chicken. Like that's all it ever was. Like my nan would never have a pizza or anything like that.
No, my nan wouldn't. And if, you know, when obviously I got older and I'd go down and I'd say, and then, you know, I'll order some food in. Should we get pizza? No, I don't want that. I'm not eating that.
And a lot of things were fresh as well because my dad was saying, you know, like refrigerators weren't exactly a thing that many people had until later on. So like my nan, when they would have been, like my dad would have been kids, like she had to go to the supermarket every day, but they also went to the butchers every day. So there would be no like processed ham bollocks. It would be like fresh cut ham, like, you know, like for dinner or in your sandwiches or everything else. So
yeah,
we don't really think about it, but obviously where we've grown up into it, where, you know, microwavable meals have been huge since like the 90s, like when we were kids.
Gotcha.
I remember all the adverts for like microchips and do you remember that?
Yeah, they were awful.
And we've just kind of, I don't know, just grown with it. So we don't even realise how wrong it is. It's only when my dad sort of says, I think it's a lot of the shit that you kids eat now that causes so much. Because if they're finding links to cancer, if there's research to show that it physically is doing you no favours, then you would assume that mentally could be very much the same.
Well, yeah, because if you're in that bad run where you are eating processed foods and microwave meals and things like that, and you start putting on weight, that then affects your mental health as well, doesn't it? So it's a slippery slope. But I remember being a kid, and the only thing that people would say would be bad for you is Smarties. You know, the Smarties, they'd be really bad for you. But that was it. Because
you'd always bump into that kid at the park and be like, "Wait, what's wrong with your brother? Oh, he's had some blue Smarties."
That's
always
it.
The blue ones.
Yeah, because they banned the blue ones for a while, didn't they?
Well, apparently. Is that what
happened? No, they did. They did. Because there was an advert on TV. Yeah, there was an advert on TV where the blue one come running back, but they changed what was going into them.
Yeah, it was a different colour blue. It wasn't a luminous anymore.
Well, this is it.
I actually also saved two TikToks, and I think I tagged you in one of them, where they were comparing American and British foods.
Yes.
So it had stuff like Lucky Charms and Fruit Loops, and there's like 10 banned ingredients in it, which we don't allow in the UK, which is why when we put Fruit Loops and stuff out, they are actually altered ingredients.
Yeah.
And it's the same with like Fanta. Like, if you've ever been to the States, guys, or seen it on a film, their Fanta is like a luminous orange, isn't it?
Yeah, gotcha.
And they've got so much weird shit in there. There's some sort of cornstarch syrup or something, which is supposed to be like 10 times sweeter than sugar and causes the risk of diabetes to like triple. And then there's just loads of other, I mean, there's a bleached chicken. Did you know you can buy a bleached chicken in America?
Bleached chicken?
Yeah, they bleach their chicken. That's how they clean it. It's a real thing. It's on TikTok. And yeah, I've heard of it before, but I've never seen it.
Put it this way, if we ever go into a restaurant and I see bleached chicken, I'll leave.
Would you like the side of Domestos next to your chicken wing, sir?
On it or in a bowl?
Yeah, I can't afford Domestos. You got any Harpic? I don't know if I told you this, but do you remember I told you that my dad left that bread in Florida and what happened to it?
Yes. Yeah, he went back months later and it was fine.
Mm. Yeah, so for those who don't know, Ryan just basically told you the whole fucking story, but fair enough. Dad used to have a house in Florida. He come back to England for a bit, and he was like, "Cla, I've left this loaf of bread on the side. It's going to be like just green mould when I get back." A few months later, he went back, FaceTimed me, and the bread was completely normal. There's something that the Americans put in their most of their breads as well to stop it from moulding. So again, you can only imagine what sort of ingredients are in that.
But if you can call that bread, You can't
call American bread. It's weird. It's weird to us because it tastes sweeter. That's weird to us. I don't know why it's so sweet. I would absolutely love to be able to have the patience and the, what's the opposite to being lazy? The energy, enthusiasm to go back to eating raw, like make my own bread and, you know, go back to potatoes and veggies and stuff every night. But I'll say it all now to make myself feel better, but I know full well come Wednesday I'm ordering a Domino's.
We are not.
But I do wonder how much it can have this bad effect. And I do wonder sometimes about, you know, it's that sort of saying about how healthy you are on the inside can be completely different to how you might, you know, healthy you are on the outside sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
I don't know. It's very interesting. There's so much to that because there's a lot of ingredients out there that have come under scrutiny, many times, you know, obviously things like hams and stuff, and it all is processed. We do eat a lot of that. So it's very interesting, I think.
Yeah.
But without sitting here asking a scientist, it's something that I wouldn't know.
No.
All I know is that potentially it's terrible for us.
Yeah. But isn't it, it's the old saying, though, isn't it? How comes everything bad for you tastes so good, and everything good for you just doesn't have that same effect?
I know. Like Dad says, if it tastes good, spit it out.
Yeah, exactly that.
So let's read a few more. I've got someone put TikTok. Yeah, I hear that Chloe Kent is a tramp.
I've heard that.
she's the worst on there. Right, we've got money worries, relationships, stress of work, bullying, abuse. People still think mental health can't be talked about, so they hide it. I think a lot could be due to people comparing their lives that they see on social media. We are constantly... I'm quite rational. I know it's their highlights, but it can still make me feel like I'm rubbish. Oh, okay. She's carrying on from her social media message there. I wasn't sure what that was. We are constantly being influenced to consume more and be more, but the cost of everything is increasing. Drink more water, but only from this cool cup. Be thinner, but don't diet. Spend time with your kids, but work nonstop. Yeah. Have a perfect face, but be a natural beauty. Do you know what? Just thinking of these beauty things, there's something else I thought about when I was in the bath. Oh. And I was thinking, like, you know, back in the day, again, when I was a kid and Mum went to the beauty salon, the most they did for you there was pedicure, manicure, waxing. Now you can go in there and have a whole fucking facelift.
Yeah.
I was looking at a beauty salon, you know, near us, because, you know, I've been toying with stuff myself because, you know, my confidence is low and I'm looking for that boost. And then I was a bit saddened to read things like the beauty package for £599. And it was, you know, chin filler, cheek filler, lip fillers. And I just think, wow, that would never have been a thing when I was a kid.
No.
And no. Probably only a handful of people would have known what Botox was.
But this is the thing, like, again, do you really want to be pumping yourself? Do you know what's in this stuff? No.
No.
So do you want to be pumping it into your body? No.
No. But, it is crazy. It kind of puts out that wrong message, you know, rather than just beautifying yourself up a little bit with nice nails and, you know, a hairless vagina. Now it's like, do you want a facelift? Come on in, £500, and Stacey with her MVQ is going to make you look like Joan Rivers.
Yeah.
Oh dear, poor Stacey.
I think one of the things you said a minute ago out of the list is not being able to talk about it, or, you know, the stigma of being ashamed or not okay. It is frowned upon. And I think that's especially high amongst men still. And, you know, we've got to break that down.
Yeah, I mean, we need to allow men to talk more. But on that note, can you just be quiet for a second? Because I'm just going to read some more. Are you putting your middle finger up me there subtly?
No, I wasn't, but it's actually worked out well.
Happy accident.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, we've got more. 100% social media. The fact that for a lot of us, owning a home is unattainable, even whilst working as hard as we do. I think it's always been there. It's just recognised more now. 8% of the British public is meeting the criteria for a diagnosis of anxiety and depression. Higher expectations and social pressures. Family and relationship breakdowns. Everything has gone fucked since COVID. I like that. That's a very professional message there.
Yes.
It's because there is so much pressure on people these days and not enough services. Cost of living is now not even realistic. It's hard. I mean, 100%. Me and Ryan were in Sainsbury's the other day. And I went, I'll just grab the Shreddies. £4.80. Nearly £5 for a box of cereal.
Yep. Ridiculous.
And I haven't said this yet because it's boring. I don't mean to bore you all on my podcast, guys. But, you know, we were getting the malted Wheaties from Morrison's, which are obviously like less than half the price, aren't they? Or more than half the price, sorry. They're like 90p. Less than half.
Yeah.
You know how they disappeared from the shelves?
Yeah.
Well, they've come back and they've changed the ingredients. The actual Shreddies used to be like a dark brown. And now they look anemic. They're like light brown. They don't even taste the same. We are literally being like fed so much shit food because it's cheaper, but like we can't afford to eat well. Well, I don't want to put that out there, because I'm sure, you know, if you get all your vegetables, you know how to cook, you can afford to eat well. But when it comes to basics, like your cereals and like your breads and your butter, it's just gone crazy.
Yeah.
It's mental, right? Let me read a few more. Everyone is having to think about new ways to survive. It's scary. Research shows correlation between processed foods and cancer. Someone's put because people are dicks, like that. We're more plugged into a fake world of online rather than the reality of those around us. That is a very strong comment. I like that. And yeah. I hate that. I like it because it rings true, and I hate it because I'm very guilty of it. And of course, once you start building up a platform and you start doing things online, you're very much checking back in on your phone more. You know, like I wake up in the morning now, and then this has only gone this way in the last couple of years. I've always been at somebody that's on my phone because I'm quite a creative person, and a lot of what I do goes via my phone, doesn't it? You know, like whether yes, I'm making it skits.
Does. It does.
I even wrote most of my books through my phone, didn't
you
I?
You did. Did.
So I am always on it, but now it's like, you know, obviously I've got emails through, and then there'd be like something, I've got to check TikTok, I've got to check Instagram, I've got to check Facebook. Like it just goes on and on and on, you know, like.
Yeah.
It is bad. We have been sucked into it a lot, and it is trying to find that balance. I mean, I am trying to balance it myself in the sense that I'm just trying to stay in my personal own lane and use the internet for what I want to use it for, and that is just showcasing my own skits. Like, that's all I can do from my personal point of view.
Yeah.
And then I have friends who actively have thought, right, I don't need 4 or 5 social apps. I'm going to just keep one and delete the rest. So I've got a friend that just has Instagram now, because she was saying, like, she was realizing in the morning, she was spending so much time checking every single one that it was just ruining her productivity. I couldn't even say that then, productivity. And now she's only got one. It's a lot better. So I can understand how we are so consumed with it all.
I think we are consumed with it, and I 100% agree with that. And what I'm going to say now kind of contradicts that, but I am on that side still. But do you think that some people go on their phones just to escape the real world? Because
100%.
The real world, you know, when you have got that bill that then comes through the letterbox and you look at it and you go, well, it's either I pay that bill or I eat this week or I feed my kids this week.
Mm.
So sometimes you've got that on your mind so much that sometimes you think, I'll just look at my phone, I just need to relax for 5 minutes. But then you fall into the whole of seeing all these things on social media. But it is an escape sometimes. And I think that's, you know, as much as it's a good thing, it can also, again, then roll into that bad thing as well.
I think it can also be linked with mental health. A lot of people are very socially awkward and they don't enjoy going out, but they might feel more comfortable going on a live or watching other people's lives or getting involved in something else online, you know, like playing games, all sorts. And that's, you know, that's better for them. So I think it's weird, but we're supposed to be the most social, but we're very antisocial as well, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I mean, we don't ring people up anymore and say happy birthday. We just put a quick message on their Facebook wall.
Yeah. Isn't it sad that we think, well, I've done my bit. I've said happy birthday.
Sad. What's sad is the fact that I keep an eye on how many people say happy birthday to me in the year. And if they don't get a happy birthday back from me.
Yeah, that's sad.
I'm like, do better next year, Michelle. Forget nice about me, you bitch.
It's nice to be nice, remember?
Babe, if they forget to say happy birthday to me, I'm not taking 20 seconds out of my day. You're having a laugh. Don't shake your head.
I'm shaking my head at you.
It's normal and I guarantee everybody does it. Right, let's read some more. I've literally got so many here off social media. Social media pressures, social media, cost of living, dating apps, more people are admitting they're struggling than ever. I think the internet is a big part of this. a lot of pressure on how to look. Also, a lot of bad news. Yeah, do you know what I was thinking as well? That's another huge factor about the internet, and I think about how it's affected our mental health. It is the constant being drip-fed bad news. That I see news now everywhere. If you know, I avoid the news because I find it depressing. But, you know, I'll open Instagram and it's there, or I'll get notifications through that. I don't even know why I'm getting notifications. Or it'll be on TikTok. Yep. You know, like, you can't avoid it. And also, things like, I don't even know how to word this, but things like paedophiles, for example. When we were growing up, there was always a dangerous person that would come to light through the news now and again, like a murderer, paedophile, or both. And it'll be like, you know, the big news of those few years. But now, because of the internet, where the paedophile hunters, you know, put all their content, and there's millions of news articles and God knows what else, like, now it's like bloody every Tom, Dick and Terry is a paedo. Do you know what I mean? So it's like you just feel suffocated by a lot of negativity, you know, whereas before you might have gone through your life a little bit ignorant, but ignorant can be bliss. You know, you don't realise that there are so many paedophiles or, you know, murderers or sex offenders around you. But now, because of the news, paedophile hunters, the register that lots of us can, we can gain access to now, we can actually see that there's like 20 in our village.
Yeah. And it makes you worry more. You
know, you do. Of course you do.
But it's like in those very, very small moments where we've had it, where we were in a shop, we had it at Chessington once, you know, your children go missing for like, and they're not gone missing, they've just wandered off just out of eye line. And in those few seconds, it can, everything runs through your mind. And then for the rest of the day, you're like, I'm mentally drained. I'm wiped out just from those few seconds.
Yeah. I mean, I was at Larkfield with a friend once, and I got out the pool round about the time that my friend's mum was supposed to be taking me home to ring dad on the payphone to let him know that actually my friend had extended it for like a couple of hours and I was going to be home late. However, my money went out halfway through the conversation. Dad didn't even hear what I was saying. And I just remember him going, Chloe, like really nervous, hung up the phone, and me and all my wisdom being a kid, just not even thinking about it, thought, oh, it'll be fine. Went swimming with my mate. And when I got home, my dad was fuming. But I know now it was the anger because of the stress, you know. And he said to me, like, do you have any idea what goes through a parent's mind in 10 minutes, let alone 2 hours? And I can only, and now I can understand, I can only imagine.
And it's horrible. It's horrible.
And we see it so much more. You've only got to be on the internet for a little while to see a new video come to light about, you know, somebody else that's been grooming children. I mean, I won't say his name, but there's obviously a big person all over TikTok that has been accused of all sorts. So, you know, it's like, it seems to be very much everywhere and in our faces now. Let's read some more.
Just shout out there, those paedophile hunters, they do a great job.
Yeah.
They're cleaning up our streets, you know, trying to make the world a better place. So fair play to them.
I don't watch it, though. It makes me feel so awkward.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying I watch it, but I'm just saying that the job they do, you know, fair play to them.
Yeah. I just hate watching stuff like that. I hate any negativity. I don't really like... I watch the Jeffrey Dahmer Netflix thing and stuff, and that's good because it almost feels like... it's not real life. It almost feels like it's, you know, an actual drama that's been written for you. But I do try and avoid most stuff like that. It's such, they're such downers, aren't they? Let's read some more. Someone said the Tories have fucked it. I can't comment. What I know about politics, you could write on the back of a stamp. I think today's generation can be quite toxic. Cost of living and being able to afford therapy, we know too much with social media, conspiracy theories, world news and worries everywhere for people to see, adding to the pressure, and they get bullied. Oh, this is a carry on from here. In the 90s, kids could do something and people forget, and now it's filmed. Oh yeah, I see what she means here. That's very true, because that happened to an influencer. I can't remember her name, so I won't say it, but she tweeted out something about Polish people, didn't she, when she was like 18?
Right.
And it got her cancelled like 10 years later.
Wow.
Do you remember that?
It's funny because
I
don't know, but my friend posted on Facebook today that he's been temporarily banned for a few weeks because of something he wrote on there 3.5 years ago.
Yeah, mad.
You know,
I mean, I did do a jokey, funny TikTok on it, but my actual real opinion is that I wouldn't judge. It's so easy when you're 18 and you're just a little bit clueless. And to be honest, you've probably heard those jokes from parents or grandparents because it's more usually a generational thing. And then you just repeated it. And then, but being 18 and saying something stupid like that doesn't reflect who you are at 30, I don't think.
No, you see a lot of it with, especially like footballers and that now that have put something on there when they were like 15, 16 and they've joined a big club, let's say, and all of a sudden it's, oh, they're a racist 10 years later because of something they wrote when they were 15. So you've got to be very careful. You know, look at Dele Alli this week.
Yeah.
You
know,
taking in...
What did Dele Alli say?
No, he's not said anything. He's been sent back from his loan club back to Everton, but this week it was his birthday and he's been sitting in there taking the gas, whatever the gas is. I don't know what it is, but it's the one. It's a drug, basically, and he's been pictured.
Oh, happy gas.
Yeah, something like that. And he's been pictured, and now Everton are talking about, you know, terminating his contract. So again, it's social media, it's phones everywhere, it's cameras everywhere. You're constantly under the spotlight.
Babe, Dele Alli does not help himself. There's literally a picture of him online though with his willy out and with a prostitute with his thumbs up.
I know. But what I'm saying, what my point is even 20 years ago, 25, 30 years ago, it wouldn't have mattered because there was no cameras. It'd be very bad luck if you got caught by a paparazzi or whatever it is to, you know, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's very different from, it's hard now for people because it will stay with them. And that's why I try and drum into Miley. I always tell her about being careful and being internet safe because it will stick with you now. Whereas when we were young, it didn't. And thank God, because, you know, some of the stuff that I probably would have come out with or said or, you know, joined in with, I wouldn't say it's even remotely a reflection of who I am today, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, this is interesting, right? I read this earlier and I've just found it now. It says, the cry it out method. Children should be seen and not heard. We were taught to stifle our feelings young. How interesting is that?
Mm.
Because do you remember the hoo-ha I had with Teddy? He's scratching his beard.
No.
Do you remember?
No.
I had those friends.
Oh, yeah, I do, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'll talk about it because they're not in my life anymore, but at the time I had some friends and one of those friends had a baby at the same time as me and they were real big believers on the cry out method, weren't they? Mm. And they were really saying to us, this is what you should do, and it didn't feel right. And I think we tried it once with Teddy, didn't we? And all it did, he got himself in such a state. And
broke
he was
my heart.
And he was only young. He was like 3 or 4 weeks old. No, he wasn't that young, actually. He was older than
younger,
that.
Yeah.
He was older than that. But he was so young that I just thought to myself, I don't understand how this method would work. Because they're just like, they can't understand or comprehend. All they know is that mum isn't coming. I'm really sorry if people do believe the cry out method. I'm not trying to insult anybody. I'm just saying that. For us, we tried it once and it really wasn't something that we were comfortable with, nor did it work. Mm. But my friends were so hell-bent on it that they sent me a message. No, I put a picture of Teddy on Facebook, didn't I? And it was something like, this little man's still awake. And it was like 9:45.
Yeah.
And they sent me a shitty message about, well, such and such is baby sleeps for the night now from 8 p.m. till 7 a.m. If you had listened to me, Chloe, and it was a really shitty message, wasn't it?
Condescending.
And it ruined our friendship in the end. We didn't really get along after that.
No.
And it was a really horrible message. And now there is so much scientific evidence to say that the cry out method isn't a good choice that, you know, I'm waiting for my apology.
Well, the thing is, you think that that little, you know, baby / toddler is crying because they want comfort.
Yeah.
And go on.
I was going to say, or colic or something stupid like that.
Yeah. But if they cry, if they're crying and crying and no one's coming, you know, if they're at an age where they can sort of go, you know, the thought process is, if I cry, my parents come to me. If they then, if your parents don't come to you, just think how scared they are. They're crying for a reason. They need something. They need attention. They need something. And if you don't say to them, and they're sitting there and they're becoming scared, you know, it just doesn't sit right with me at all.
I think there's a lot of things that we've done in regards to children's mental health growing up that I don't agree with now. Like things like, you know, I remember people getting detention for their homework not being good enough instead of caring about why it wasn't good enough, you know, like,
yeah,
everybody learns different. And one thing that I don't like, and I don't know if we'll ever see it get rid of in our lifetime, but I actually really don't like GCSE exams. I remember this very sweet, sweet girl who was very quiet and timid. I only had one lesson with her and it was maths, and every summer she went to a summer school that was set up by, I think, some Christians or something. Like, it wasn't something that our school done. Her parents sent her there because they wanted her to have the best GCSEs, and I remember just being terrified that she wasn't going to get these good results. She was going to these bloody schools, never having a break and enjoying herself, and her highest grade was a C in her GCSEs, and everything else was a D and an E. And I just remember her showing me and telling me and crying and just thinking, this isn't right. She's a smart girl. She hasn't been a class clown. She hasn't pissed around. She's been studying and concentrating. But you know what? She probably just doesn't test well.
Yeah.
And that's okay, because I can't test now because I get anxious.
Yeah, I hate tests. I've always hated tests and exams.
I can't even remember my own bloody name. Like, it's awful. And yeah. I do wonder now about, you know, these weird boxes that I think we put kids in with grades and levels. But
with what you were saying about GCSEs, how old are you when you pick your what you're going to do for the next 2 years? Is like
14, aren't you?
So at 14 years old, you're meant to know what exams, what subjects you want to take and get grades in to go on to a, you know, adult life. How on earth is a 14-year-old meant to know that? And, you know, the pressure, like you said, with exams and that no. Isn't that just setting people up to fail sometimes? Mm. You know, not everyone, but for a majority, you're setting people up to fail because you're putting pressure on them. I remember the pressure I got, GCSEs. You've got to do your coursework. You've got to do your homework. You've got to do your revision. You've got to sleep the night before. And it was like, well, hang on.
A lot of pressure.
It is, yeah. It's like, give me a break.
That's
16. Leave me alone. You know, at 16, last thing you're thinking about is exams.
And that's where that's where comparing comes into, because I remember like my mates being like, oh, what set did you get, Chloe? I'm in top set for maths. And I'm like, oh, I'm in bottom set. You know, like the bottom set where they don't even trust you with a compass, like that sort of set, you know. It's hard being 14 and trying to know what you want to do anyway. I mean, I just worked out how to masturbate at 14. You're lucky I left the house. Do you know what I mean?
But it's not just the pressure in school, is it? It's then the pressure from home from parents as well. Of, like I just said, you've got to do this. No, you're not going out to see your mates. You've got this to do. You've been at home. You've been at school all day, and now they want you to sit and do another 3-4 hours worth of revision.
Yeah,
it's just too much pressure. And you do understand why some people just go, no, do you know what? Fuck it. I'm out. I'm not going to revise. I'm not doing it.
It's a lot. And imagine how that girl felt that I said to you that I had maths with when she studied. And then you've got me who was pissing around, going to parties, you know, having fun. And I was, you know, I was such a smart student. I got great results. You know, like I must have made her feel awful. No, I'm joking. My results were mediocre, guys. Don't worry. But can you imagine the stress it puts on her seeing other people achieve well when she's probably put in 110% more work?
Yeah.
I just don't think exams work that way, you know?
No, and I don't.
It starts off the whole comparing at a very young age. Because my mum used to do it to me. Oh, Chloe, like about her mum's daughter. We'll call her Deirdre. Oh, Chloe, Deirdre's only in top set for everything. Oh, Deirdre only got all A's and B's in her GCSEs. You'll spell out fudge. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was that sort of bollocks. But anyway, we've gone on a school tangent. Let me read some more messages. Oh, someone said, I have a theory, but I will message you because it's so long. Oh, I'll have to read that later. People are trying too hard to please others. The financial crisis, people are getting some serious debt, scared and anxious about paying and affording bills. Social media, not because of trolls, but because people compare their lives. Absolutely. Social media, comparing ourselves to others' lives, despite the fact we all only post a highlight reel. Very true.
Yep.
There was no platform for mental health. You just had to get on with it. No allowances were made. Yeah, I guess that was how it was. It was once time. But, you know, I will say that I don't agree. I don't think we're much better now. I said to you, didn't I, when I started working at Tesco and I went upstairs to the staff room and I saw a whole wall of mental health posters with phone numbers, support. And then there's even a part in the canteen where you can go and have a little relaxation if you need it.
Yep.
I'm convinced it's a part of bollocks because it's all a part of ticking that box. Because half of these managers, when I've ever gone to them with mental health, they're not that great. There's not enough training. Like, I don't think they're that supportive. And then I've seen it where somebody's called in sick because they're having, and they've been honest. They've not phoned up and said, I've got a stomachache. They phoned up and said, I've got severe anxiety today. I can't get out of bed. I'm really struggling. And then that manager will come down and be like, oh, such and such is called. Anxiety, apparently. Do you know what I mean? And they say it's so shitty that you think, oi, love, what's all this mental health posters upstairs for if you're going to be a bitch? You know?
Well, I've witnessed you with your mental health in the good and the bad, and the very, very bad. And then I went off to do you remember the mental health first aid training? And the woman it was almost like she was just reading from a textbook because she said something and she said, you know, what bit was opinion? I gave my opinion and she said to me, no, you're wrong. No, I kind of said, well, I'm not wrong because it's an opinion. And she said, no, you are wrong. And it was like, I've actually been in this situation and this is how we dealt with it. But you're telling me I'm wrong. And I still don't think that it's been explored enough.
No. I've got some more here. Social media, but also becoming aware of undiagnosed trauma. So I think this person's talking about undiagnosed trauma in children, you know, as they grow up to be adults, which I think is another interesting one. The fact working full-time doesn't even cover the bills. I mean, that's an awful one. The fact that people are working 40 hours a week, we talk about it all the time, don't we, about how hard it's been in the past, how it is when we have those bad months. And you just think, God, you know, by the time you've paid out your council tax, which is a bitch, and your electricity now, on top of your rent or your mortgage, your money left to do fun things or buy clothes, you know, or just live.
Sometimes
it's
eat.
So limited. Yeah, eat. It's just so limited.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. So that's a hard pill to swallow, that. You know, I think everyone would have a bit more of a spring in their step if they went to work and actually, at the end of the month, they could live a little bit luxuriously, you know?
Yeah.
I think
just being able to go out and do the simple things.
Well, that's the least everybody deserves from putting in that many hours a week.
Yeah.
You know, minimum wage used to have a huge reality check, whoever thought that up, because it's not enough.
Yeah.
Life is hard, expensive, uni fees, competition for jobs. It's hard to smile and be happy. Lots of social media pressures. Life isn't easy. The rich poor divide is wider, and social media definitely doesn't help, because people don't help others and fix things like 10 years ago. They just give up. Celebrities, pressure from old generation, government, lots of social media, lots of COVID coming through. I work for an NHS mental health trust, and I really believe a lot of it is social media. So, which is quite sad for me, because I'm a part of social media now. I hope I'm the part that's positive, but it's still a scary thought. Yes, Chloe, you are.
No, I was thinking about my answers. Is there are positives when you go on social media. I think the negatives are, I think what's different about you, Chloe, is you are yourself on social media. You're not, you don't put on this fake persona. You don't, you've not had all the cosmetic surgery. You're not, you know, that way. And I think people watch you because you do remind them that it's not all bad. But I think, you know, if you sat and watched the people from the Essex show or one of the other shows, you'd see a very different normal lifestyle. It's not normal.
I hope so. I mean, I'd hate to be the part of somebody's, you know,
downfall,
bad mental health because of what I put out, you know.
I don't think anything you've put out is wrong.
Lots more about money here. Lots of people upset, you know, pittance that they're being paid, can't cover the cost of bills, food and childcare. The pressures of quite a few as well that I'm reading is people just can't afford their own house, even though their parents could. And that's really upsetting. And I can, you know, I can understand that. I think it was Margaret Thatcher that came in the 80s and she made it possible for people to buy council houses, didn't she? So that helped a lot of people back in the day. And also, wasn't there 100% mortgages you could have back then?
Yeah.
I think she sorted that out as well. But you can't, none of those things are available anymore. So... Well, but, buying your own council is, but it depends if the council want to give it to you.
Yeah, and, you know, with buying a house, just getting the mortgage together is the stumbling block for everybody, because what people are paying out in rent, the mortgage would actually be cheaper, so they'd be better off, but it's getting that lump sum together first.
But you know what, guys, if you listen to this and you rent, be so proud of yourself that you're going out and working and doing what you can do and paying your rent every month. It's not your fault. It's not, you're not the one that's not working hard enough, and that's the reason why you haven't got a house.
Absolutely.
You haven't got a house because of the banks and the government and the situation that they've got us all in, and now us 30-year-olds are paying for it. But, you know, everyone should be proud of themselves for keeping up with rent, because rent is extortionate anyway. Mortgage is cheaper.
Yeah.
Someone put lack of vitamin D. Totally agree. Let's move to Spain. cost of living. We've got this loads, I think. I think ultimately this is really interesting. It's been social media. It's been the cost of living. They've been the two that have really come out. And just the general pressures of life. And obviously some still, you know, the repercussions of COVID still, of course.
Yeah.
There's a lot. I'm really interested. I don't want to miss a really good one. But I will, if there's any more that are really interesting, I shall do like a second part. But I think that pretty much is covering it. I think that is what people are saying. And obviously, I would agree.
Yeah. I think different walks of life is a big one as well.
How do you mean? Like being born into wealth, or you talk about something completely different?
I think being born into wealth could be it. No. Being born into wealth, because you have that false security that you're always going to have money. And when you have to go out in the big wide world on your own, it can be very daunting. But that works for, again, for people that are born into less or lower income families. And then you go out into the real world and all of a sudden you've got all these bills. It's a lot on you. But also, you know, your childhood as well, is how you're treated by your parents can affect your mental health then although you don't realize it because you're a kid, but later on in life you realize it.
I mean, money doesn't make you happy, so I don't think being born into wealth changes too much. But what I do think is that when we do come out into the real world, like you're saying, that's where the struggles start. Because, and this has been talked about a few times, but in school, we just don't have enough preparation for real life. You know,
no, we don't.
Like, we have, you know, all the core lessons, great, but then we'll be off in geography talking about rainforests that none of us are probably ever going to visit. And, we, you know, we'll be talking about random shit in PSHE, and we'll have religious studies and everything else. But nobody's telling us how to save for a mortgage or about life insurance or
just managing money,
paying taxes. None of those things, you know. I think if in school as well, if we had a real talk about money management and debt, specifically maybe talking about what a bad idea it is for an 18-year-old to get a credit card, I think me and half of my friends probably wouldn't be in debt right now, you know, because
and
Jesus,
that's, yeah.
But then we all got the okay for a credit card and went out clubbing.
Yeah, start that in year 10 when you are becoming a little bit more of a younger adult, you know, mid-teens, early, late teens, you know, because you will then be going and getting a weekend job or an evening job. And I remember when I got my first, I got paid weekly and I was only doing 3 days a week and I think I got like 130, 140 quid. They're kind of showing me age there. And I remember I got paid on the Friday and it was like, oh, yes, go out the weekend. Go out the weekend. By Monday morning, I was skint. It was like, oh, I've got to wait till Friday till I get paid again now.
You know,
I'm not saying that everyone's got to sort of get paid and hold their wages in the bank till they're 50, but, just learning to manage money would be a big advantage in schools.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. We definitely need to have way better preparation for what's in front of us. You know, there's so much more things that will be actual, real, really helpful and beneficial for us to think about and learn than, you know, some of the shit that we did learn. No offense to any physics teachers. Anyway, you completely wasted my time.
Telling me about a king that died 5,000 years ago. I'm just not interested.
When is X times Y equals, I don't know, close the heifer, coming helpful for me? Don't say my age on this podcast, young man.
Oh, it is your age, isn't it? Oops.
Guys, we're going to end it here. Thank you so much. And you know what? If you listen to this and you're on your way to work and you're completely feeling those feelings about what we're discussing, please don't let this be a downer, because at least we all recognise that we are all in the same boat. It is building up. It's all having that negative impact on us. It's hard at the moment. What goes down must come up. I do believe that at some point it has to get better again.
Yeah, be proud of what you've achieved, because you're out there and you're doing it. So just be proud of what you have achieved.
Yeah, and don't hold on for the big shit to happen. I know it's hard because I do it. I still want to be able to own my own house and be so proud. But you know what? It's not in my stars at the moment. So instead, I'm going to enjoy all the little stuff that I can do, that I can afford, and that I can be a part of. So whatever it is that's going on in your life this year, whether it's just, you know, meeting up with friends, going to a concert, going down to Marbella, going to the pub with your mates every now and again, like whatever it is, enjoy it. You deserve it. And try not to let yourself get so overwhelmed, because it's not your fault that the world is like this at the moment. So
no, it's not.
Take a deep breath. Have a gin and tonic, babe. We'll all
Small
be okay.
Steps and one at a time.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you on the next one. Look after yourselves. See you all soon. Bye.